Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the free zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving, anachronistic patriots. Great to have you with us. This is the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. And feeling better all the time. Lady Liberty, how you doing?
Well, good morning to you. Good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Wiffle Bat Wednesday.
Ow.
Well, actually, I think I feel a little bit wiffle batted. We've had a little bit of a downturn in our joyful response to the flu.
Kung flu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Fauci. Thanks, Gates.
Yeah, that's again. Right.
And also, thank you for helping us build our natural immunity.
That's right.
I mean, because, you know what? A year and a half ago, we got COVID pretty hard. This is about 30 days.
Oh, yeah.
This was like 5 days.
Right.
And it's still kind of right at the peak of it, the same intensity, but way short-lived.
Yeah.
And we don't have to worry about falling over on our faces from taking the clot shot.
Exactly.
You know, so, hey, hua, bring it.
Yep, hua.
All right. So, yeah, we've got so much stuff to cover right now. This whole thing with Trump's been in the news. But I just saw an article I have to share because there's more Europeans need to be wiffle batted here. I was absolutely convinced this was from the Babylon Bee. But it's not. In fact, this is posted at notthebee.com. So just listen to this and keep in mind, this is not satire. Okay. St. Greta Thunberg awarded honorary doctorate in theology from the Helsinki University.
Oh, brother. Of course,
their subtitle is, because why the heck not? Seriously. The University of Helsinki in Sweden has announced its list of honorary doctorates to be given in 2023, and making the list is everyone's favorite Swedish high school dropout and climate cult leader, Greta Thunberg. And how appropriate that they would give her a doctorate, an honorary doctorate in theology.
Right.
Because this climate cult is literally, it is a cult. It is like a religion.
Well, exactly. In fact, that is. I have that documented fairly well in my first book, The Perils of
Yes.
Sustainable Development, because the whole UN charter is based on the Communist Manifesto,
right?
And their new world order religion is based on Gaia,
yes,
and everything pagan is Gaia,
right?
And so all their lies are Gaia. You know, everything.
That's right.
Everything that they want you to worship that is the creation and not the creator.
Okay, so the first wiffle bat goes to everybody involved with this decision at the University of Helsinki in Sweden. They're listed as one of the top countries in the world, according to the UN, where people are the happiest. They did this whole list of where people in the world are the happiest. And Sweden was like, it was like in the top three. Well, of course, because they're delusional.
Perfect. Send all of our people there. You know, all of our fraudulently elected deep state swine.
Absolutely.
They all would love Sweden.
Yes.
Helsinki is perfect for them. And so now they know the city where they belong.
That's right. And they can go worship Greta there.
They can.
They can see her in person.
They can all be the happiest people on the planet.
Happy, happy. That's right. It'll be just this perfect little world.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Let's just call Sweden the place of exile.
Yes.
And just, I don't know, how it, just like the guy that ran for governor of Idaho this last time, he mentioned that his plan was going to be to just go ahead and pay to get all the liberals out of Idaho. He would actually pay for,
yes,
their U-Haul and pay for their travel expenses to just leave the state, because,
oh yeah, because
it ends up being way cheaper. I mean, like it costs like 90% more to keep them in the state than it does to just send them on their way and pay their expenses to get out.
And they hate all the Trump signs anyway, and all the guns that they see around, and all,
yes,
the conservative values.
What
and
are they doing here?
Right. Almost almost 100% Republican elected representatives. And boy, it just makes them absolutely miserable. And leave.
Right.
You know, so, and of course, you know, in Sweden, you can go to this utopia in Sweden. Of course, just don't talk to any of the women that fall among that, 9,000% increase in rape in Sweden since they've embraced their Muslim conquerors.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, you can't bring that up because, well, that's Islamophobic and, xenophobic.
Right.
And
Who has rights this week? We'll figure it out, right?
Yeah, as long as you interview the right people, which is all, you know, the academia at the University of Helsinki, and ask the UN, everybody's happy in Sweden.
Right. Well, and I have a quote here from Walter E. Williams, who said, "Nothing in our Constitution suggests that government is a grantor of rights. Instead, government is a protector of rights."
They're supposed to be. I love Walter Williams. That guy's so sharp. And the blacks hate him. You know, he's betrayed them because he, you know, sides with whiteness.
Well,
he's siding with the rule of law.
Yeah, he's siding with logic. I mean, how could you, logic and law, could you possibly go against that? He was a famous American economist.
Yes.
And, like you're saying, very bright. And so, where they're deciding which rights are important this week, you know, that's mob rule.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's also kind of like how Kash Patel, yesterday we ran a clip with him and how he's describing that, that there's this two-tier party law system. Well, that's also what my first book, The Perils of Sustainable Development, outlines very, very clearly from very beginning of end to when that dual governance system started infiltrating the United States. And that is how the two-tier system even developed, because they developed all of their governance, their UN governance structure, right alongside all of ours. In fact, in 2009, when I went to a city council meeting on sustainable development, what happened at that meeting was that a couple hundred of us showed up and we all said, "You guys can't turn Spokane into a sustainable city because that's a UN program. And that means you're taking direction from a foreign governance structure. That's called treason."
Right.
And so they passed it anyway. Well, so one of the city council members came up to me afterwards. She said, "Well, you know, I've just got to tell you that we were told it was going to get passed whether we voted for it or not." And so what I didn't know was at that time, 500 other cities within that 2-week time frame, they all declared sustainable cities as well.
Yes.
So that is what you call a soft coup.
Right.
When the UN sets up their sustainable development governance structure right alongside 500 cities all at the same time within a 2-week period, and nobody even knew, nobody even protested anything except for us in Spokane.
Yeah, and nobody was able to connect any of the dots either.
Right.
You know, as far as the where it originated from.
Right.
So, yeah, that's and they're doing it again too. They're, you know, this new United Nations some gathering where they're all going to be discussing agreements that these nations will make, that will, these policies that people will agree to implement when they go back home.
Oh, right. And that is treasonous as well.
Yes.
And in fact, we've even got the list of those people that were willing to do that and were committing treason by going over there and colluding with the WEF. We could charge those people with crimes and get them out of office.
Well, because when you come back home and implement policy that was not passed by legislators,
right,
that has the same full force and effect as law with punishments fines, you know, then that's a foreign form of governance.
It is.
That's outside the realm of a Republican form of government.
And that's as unconstitutional as it could possibly get.
Right.
We cannot ever, in a republic, you cannot ever listen to any kind of authority or authoritative voice that comes from outside of this nation.
Right.
We are a nation of the people.
Nobody has America's best interest at heart.
Oh, of course not.
They don't. It has to, you know, we have to be the guardians of that.
That's right.
And so.
Well, and I have to say they're doing a good job in the GOP right now because, oh, I can't wait to hit this. Maybe we should hit it after the break because the GOP has got some awesome updates that I can't wait to share with you. Should we wait till segment two?
Let's get into the word of the day.
Let's do it.
And save that for segment two, and looking forward to hearing that.
Okay. All right. So the word of the day for Wiffle Bat Wednesday comes to us apparently as a continuation from Hosea chapter 1 verses 1 through 11. Because as you recall, we covered chapter 11 in Hosea yesterday, but this is a random turning to a different Bible today and ended up right here. So, okay, so it reads, "The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The family of Hosea. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, Go, take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to him, Call his name Jezreel, for in a little while I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu, and bring an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. It shall come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bore a daughter. Then God said to him, Call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Yet I will have mercy on the house of Judah. I will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword or battle, by horses or horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. Then God said, Call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Mm. And the restoration of Israel reads, Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered, and it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, You are not my people. There it shall be said to them, You are sons of the living God. Then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together and appoint for themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. And so the important part
interesting history.
Well, there's some notes. The Bible notes here is very interesting as well, because it says here in verse 9, Lo-Ami, meaning not my people, indicates the end of the relationship. Note the progression in the three names, Jezreel, which means active judgment, Lo-Ruhamah means passive tolerance, and Lo-Ami means no connection. And so it says, though some reunification of the two kingdoms will occur after the exile, their coming under one head will not be completely fulfilled until the Messiah brings them together. And Jezreel is used in verses 4 and 5 to mean God scatters, and now takes its positive meaning of God plants. And so this is just the symbology of everything in just those first 11 verses is very interesting. And like we were describing yesterday, how chapter 11 could describe the United States very easily. And the verse right here where it says, Go take yourselves a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. That's exactly what's going on here in the United States right now.
Yeah, it is.
The huge majority of the cities have departed from the Lord.
Yep.
And now we're experiencing judgment. This is what happens. And especially when it says that Jezreel means active judgment, Lo-Ruhamah means passive tolerance, and Lo-Ami means no connection. And like we were saying yesterday on our channel about the word of the day, that that adultery, spiritual adultery, is extremely offensive to the Lord.
Yes.
And I mean,
he'll destroy you over it.
I think out of all the sins, that's the one I hate the most.
Yeah.
That is my most hated sin, is adultery. And so I could totally understand why he is so offended by that as well, because it's basically putting him beneath something else, or even worse, just flat out turning away from him and pretending like he doesn't even exist.
Yep.
And so, of course, he's going to do that. But the problem is he also gives us a time limit to knock that off, because it says in the end of Revelation that there will be no adulterers, no liars, no any of those kind of things that are allowed in heaven. So at one point, he quits being forgiving and shuts them off.
Yeah.
And they're no longer even considered for admission, which is just like that triple description here with the active judgment, the passive tolerance, and then no connection, because he says in verse 10, and it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. And so
that's a scary place to be.
Yep.
Especially when you were his people.
Yep.
For and him to say to completely cut off, to say, you're not my people.
That's right.
That's the removal of all the hedge of protection, the blessings, the prosperity, all of it.
Right.
And that's just the absolute worst place that you could be.
Right.
For sure.
Yep. Yeah. So it's interesting how those things have a time limit with him. And you know, that's obviously why that's the first commandment in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
You shall have no other gods before me.
And the unique difference between God and Israel, I mean, you could definitely draw some parallels there between, you know, how the United States is behaving, turning its back on God. But the prophetic, the preciseness of the prophecy that's hidden in that, showing that he will redeem Israel as
right.
well, and that he will scatter them, and that he will return them, but they won't be fully restored until they're under the reign of Christ.
That's right.
So we see all those prophets, just in the naming of someone, and you know, the naming of a people and what that means, the meaning of that name has prophecy built into it, hidden in it, in and of itself, just in the name.
Right.
To see how God has, you know, worked.
Well, but it's all of those can be applied to humanity in general. Anyone that turns away from God, anyone that is, you know, especially those who turn to God and accept
yes.
him and then later reject him. That's even worse.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, yeah, so those can be applied to almost everybody as well.
Yeah, they can. Wow. Well, good deal. Thank you for that. And
praise God.
Now, was that from Hosea also?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Wow. It was like my first turning was, I just missed it. Or maybe he wanted to point out a couple different things about Hosea, because it's reflective of where we are in our nation right now.
Yeah, because that's what we covered yesterday too. So.
Yep.
All right, well, thank you for that. And what's the full scripture?
Okay, so that was Hosea chapter 1, verses 1 through 11.
Got it. All right, thank you for that.
Praise
God. All right, well, let's go ahead and take a break and come back with more in segment 2. We've got a lot to cover. This segment brought to you by JesusAppears.com, helping you to get rapture ready for the imminent return of our King. It's coming and coming up quickly. So check it out. Don't get left behind. JesusAppears.com is the website, and we'll be back right after these messages. Stick around.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Some of you may be asking yourselves, why should we be bothered with developing citizenship responsibilities? Well, there are many reasons. One of the primary reasons is that great principles do not live from generation to generation without being nurtured, without being kept vigorously alive. Unless we understand and work effectively for the principles upon which our American way of life is founded, the structure will crumble and our heritage of freedom will perish.
Welcome back, Patriots. This is segment two of the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. And there's a story behind that. While we played that Mrs. Robinson, we'll tell you in just a second. But this segment was brought to you by Prepping 2.0, helping to take your preps to the next level. And that's the podcast at prepping2-0.com. All right, Lady Liberty here. Yeah, a little Simon and Garfunkel throwback there.
Well, yeah, because Donald Trump made a statement that's kind of just the all-encompassing American type memory, where he ends his statement in "Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio?" Right?
Yes.
And referring to this song, and his statement was, "China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, and other nations of less than friendly nature are busy carving up the world as our once great United States of America sits back and watches. We are a failing nation with open borders, fake elections, and a horrible inflation-riddled economy. We no longer set the standard sets us. Our so-called leader does nothing except eat, sleep, and go to the bathroom." And then he says, "Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio?" Right?
Yes.
And so, and speaking of the so-called leader, the communist coup puppet, who we act, oh my gosh, well, that's what CCP stands for. We didn't realize it actually meant Biden, communist coup puppet, right? Well, so the update from the House GOP is stunning. They say that the CCP money flowed to Biden family according to bank records, and the documents are now obtained by the House GOP. So last time we heard from them on this, they had subpoenaed the bank statements and they were waiting to get them in their hand. Well, as of now, they have them. And it says here, Republicans on the White House Oversight Committee have been working with four witnesses with close ties to the Bidens who have provided documents and other evidence tying the Bidens to the Chinese Communist Party. And they say, this is Republican Representative James Comer. He says, "It's as bad as we thought.
Oh,
since
yes.
we've last spoken, we have bank records in hand. We have individuals who are working with our committee." And he said, "In the last 2 weeks, we've met with either these individuals personally or with their attorneys, and that would be four individuals who had ties in with the Biden family in their various schemes around the world. So now we have in hand documents. We have in hand documents that show just how the Biden family was getting money from the Chinese Communist Party. This is irrefutable," basically, is what they're describing.
They could really use a distraction right now, right?
Which is this Trump arrest?
Arrest Trump for something, even if he's been cleared of it, three times already?
Right. Now, check this out. Representative Comer also says, "The Biden family members attempted to sell access and influence around the world." And so the GOP oversight has communicated with multiple witnesses and continues to follow the Biden money trail. And he said, "We will be transparent and provide the facts for the American people." So, oh my gosh, that's huge.
Yes, it is.
That's way bigger than this sham arrest Trump garbage.
Yes.
You know, and in fact, we have the article here that's going to just completely upend that trash as well.
Yeah, that article here is over at the Epoch Times, and this is Jonathan Turley. He's saying that the Manhattan DA's potential case against Trump is legally pathetic. Now, he's a law professor at George Washington University. He gave testimony during the House Judiciary Committee's hearing in Washington back on December 4th of 2019. So, alleged unnamed court sources have told multiple news outlets that Trump could be indicted in the near future. While, of course, now they're saying they're not going to make a decision until maybe next week, or maybe indict him now and ask him to turn himself in next week. This whole thing's going to completely come apart. I mean, this is an embarrassment. Somebody needs to stop the train wreck before it gets any worse, because this is absolutely going to backfire on the globalists. But let's see here. Turley said that, you know, on these reports, the DA's case against Trump is legally pathetic and is struggling to twist state laws to effectively prosecute a federal case long ago rejected by the Justice Department against Trump. In 2018, yes, that's how long this theory has been around, he says, I wrote about how difficult such a federal case would be under existing election laws. Now, 6 years later, the same theory may be shoehorned into a state claim, wrote Turley, who was a former expert witness for Trump's first impeachment trial for The Hill. And here in just the last minute, I want to finish up with this. This is from the Epoch Times. He noted that a Section 175 charge would normally be a misdemeanor, and that the only way to convert it into a Class E felony requires a showing that the intent to defraud includes an intent to commit another crime or to aid or conceal the commission thereof. That other crime would appear to be the federal election violations with which the Justice Department previously declined to charge. Bragg's office, meanwhile, could not prosecute the charge as a misdemeanor, as it falls outside the 2-year statute of limitations. This is what Turley was saying. Instead, Bragg would have to pursue a felony charge. Prosecutors working under Bragg's predecessor, Cyrus Vance Jr., also reportedly rejected the viability of using a New York law to effectively charge a federal offense. And Bragg also previously expressed doubts about the Daniels case and shut it down when he took office several years ago, he said, adding that two lead prosecutors resigned at the time. So this whole thing is just absolutely falling apart for them.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, keep the Republic and keep our President Trump in your prayers. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.
That's right. You all have a wonderful Wiffle Bat Wednesday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.